Welcome to the Reconciliation Roadmap Podcast. I'm your host, Dixie Crawford, Barkindji woman, founder of Nagunya and RAP consultant. In this podcast, I'll be talking about the purpose, practices, and potential impact of your organization as you navigate the implementation of a reconciliation action plan. With years of experience as a RAP consultant, I will bring you the insights and perspectives that really do matter. Think of this as your go-to RAP resource in your pocket, tackling all the questions you've ever had about a RAP. This isn't just a yarn. It is an actionable roadmap for your business towards positive change. Hi, welcome back to episode 12. It's nice to be here. Thank you for joining me. For those of you who don't know me or aren't familiar with the voice that is in your ears right now, my name is Dixie Crawford. I'm a Barkindji woman from Rewarra and Broken Hill in far western New South Wales, and I get to live on what is today a very cold and rainy Ngunnawal country here in Canberra. Thanks for joining me. It's been a hot minute since we have recorded and released any podcast. I've just been flat chat, been traveling around the world, and yeah, just been home on country with family and friends, and my brother got married, and yeah, I've just had a bit going on. So I haven't had the chance to get into the studio and do some recording, but I'm here now and I am very pleased to bring these next bunch of episodes to you. I'm a binger when it comes to podcast episodes. If I find a podcast that I love and that I really enjoy, I want to get as much of it as I possibly can. So I release my episodes in batches. So I hope that you enjoy them. The next phase, I guess, of the Reconciliation Roadmap podcast is looking at how it is that we are engaging stakeholders. And there's a few different episodes where I'm focused on how do we effectively build relationships with stakeholders that are internal and external to our organization, and what's going to be the key to developing long, sustainable, and positive relationships that actually achieve long-term impact rather than being focused on the metric of short-term outcomes, which a lot of organizations tend to focus on. But for today's episode, I want to actually talk about communications. And again, this is that stakeholder engagement piece that I think is going to evolve in the next couple of episodes. But I wanted to yarn about comms because from my perspective, comms are somewhat of a secret ingredient and also a crucial ingredient to increasing your workforce's awareness of and engagement with the RAP initiatives or activities. I mean, if you haven't nailed the comms, how will people know what the RAP is, why the organization has one, and how they can actively get involved if they want to do that? Don't make the assumption that people in the business know that the organization has a RAP. I cannot tell you how many times I've walked into an organization that is months or years into their RAP journey, and staff tell me it's the first time they have heard about the RAP or they even know what a RAP is. So it's important that we get the comms right. And yes, while people are responsible for their own learning, we still need to be aware that if we are not effective and we don't have a strategic plan around our communications and marketing, we run the risk of people not being aware of or being engaged in what the organization aims to achieve with the RAP. So today I want to talk through effective comms, what you need to look out for, what are some key mistakes people make, and what are some strategies that you can put into place to help you with your RAP communication. So let's start here. Why is effective comms relevant and so important to your RAP? Effective and relevant comms can facilitate a deeper understanding of First Nations communities, cultures, and histories. And with this understanding, there comes this recognition that there is profound diversity in First Nations cultures in our ways of being, knowing, and doing. And with that awareness and understanding, there becomes this ongoing consideration for the needs and the nuances of different communities and cultural protocols and processes. And unless there is an awareness that there is diversity, then we're not going to hit any of the marks that we want when it comes to building relationships with communities, but also achieving the goal that we set in a collaborative way, right? So we might have aspirations for particular programs or projects that we're working with community on or that we want to work with community on. And if we don't have a joint or a shared vision of what that is and we're not communicating that effectively to our staff, people are not going to know what we're doing, why we're doing it, or even why something is important. So one of the key elements of effective comms is building that awareness and that deep understanding that there is difference that exists in First Nations communities. And it is important that we do our own individual, and there is also collective learning in the organisation around what those differences and those nuances are when communities are working together, or when we want to work with community, or if community even want to work with us, right? So the second point that I want to share is that when you do effective comms, you increase the engagement and participation of employees in the RAP. So it's important that you have clear and concise comms that is encouraging and engaging, or promoting opportunities for people to actively participate at all levels of the organisation, right? Not just your leadership team, not just your middle managers, or not just your frontline staff. It is important that we create opportunities for everyone to actively participate in the RAP. And this is why comms has to be really effective in order to create a call to action to increase people's participation, right? So the implementation of any RAP initiative cannot be achieved with one or two people in the organisation. Increasing people's awareness and their engagement and their participation in the RAP means that you have more hands on deck to help you do these initiatives, because if we don't do it properly, we run the risk of reputational damage, but also we run the risk of doing the wrong thing by First Nations communities. So I don't want you to miss the opportunity of getting it right, but you can't get it right when you're on your own. So increased engagement is also likely to increase the participation of your employees in the implementation of the RAP. The third point there is that we do create education and awareness opportunities, right? So communication can serve as an education tool for people around the purpose of the RAP, the history of reconciliation and the concept, but also talk to the histories, cultures, and the different lived experiences of Aboriginal people across the country. There is an awareness raising element that sits here in reconciliation that really is critical to promoting empathy and understanding across the board around what First Nations lived experiences are and why it is that we have reconciliation action plans in this country, and where people are at from a social equity and outcomes perspective. Some people are just not at all aware of what some of the lived experiences of First Nations people can be in this country. The fourth element that's really critical in terms of effective comms is to be demonstrating leadership commitment. Now, this is really, really important, because if the leadership team is completely invisible or nowhere to be seen, found, or heard from when it comes to the commitment of the reconciliation, people are going to call BS on it, right? People are going to say, actually, no one really cares about this. Why should I care about the RAP? Because my CEO or the crew of the organization doesn't care about it, right? Leaders lead by example, and it's really important that leadership within your organisation, being both way up the top with the board, from the CEO down to middle management, down to, you know, supervisors, it's important that anyone that is in a position of leadership, of management, demonstrates commitment and is aware of what it is that they're talking about with the RAP. Well, one, they need to understand what the RAP is, but two, they need to understand what they want to communicate about the Reconciliation Action Plan, because this sets the tone for the entire organisation. So we want leaders to communicate openly and consistently about the RAP to inspire and to motivate people to get involved in it, but also to demonstrate that we are being accountable and we are wanting to drive meaningful change with the RAP in the organisation. The fifth point that I want to talk about is that effective comms can also help you build trust with First Nations communities. Now, I'm not talking about having, you know, beautiful artwork and a really nice video every now and again, which is also important, but consistent comms demonstrates the visibility and the commitment that your organisation has to a reconciliation action plan. Now, of course, I've said this time and time again, blackfellas will come along and unpick your organisation's commitment like a hem on a pair of pants if it isn't real and if it isn't robust and if it isn't fair dinkum. But what I want to say to you is that please don't just be promoting the RAP or your relationships or commitment with First Nations communities during the NAIDOC week or REC week or anything like that, because it looks tokenistic, and what you want is to maintain that consistency throughout every single week, every single month, that, hey, this RAP means something to us as a business and we're right in this. So next point I want to talk about is, what does effective communication look like from a purpose and intention perspective, right? So what can good comms do for an organization? But I guess what's critical to setting a strong communications plan around the wrap. So a couple of points here that I want to run through. It's really important that the organization has a very clear understanding of what the mission, the vision, and the purpose of the wrap is within the organization, and that we can clearly articulate this then to the organization internally, but also externally, right? So what are the overarching goals that we are trying to achieve here? The statement has to be clear and concise and has to be easily understood and interpreted and then repeated by stakeholders. That's one of the key messages that I want to get across to you, right? When I used to work in an organization, we were always talking about effective comms being people's capacity to receive information, retain it, and then repeat it. So this is important from a leadership point of view, right? That you have a leadership team that is, you're all singing from the same song sheet, right? What's really important is that you have a mission that is really clear and concise, right? Because you really do want to work from that principle of people being able to receive information, retain it, and then repeat it. The more people can receive it, the more people understand it, the more likely they're going to repeat it to other stakeholders, where we then start being really clear about what we're doing and why it is that we're doing something. So a clear mission is a must. What I also want to encourage you to do is to provide regular updates around the progress and the outcomes that are being achieved with the wrap. So keeping stakeholders informed about what we're doing, why we're doing something, how we're progressing, what changes we're making. This is really important to effective comms around purpose and intention, right? Because we are constantly being aware of what we're doing, how we're doing something, and we are getting the outcomes that it is that we want. If you go missing in action and you only turn up during NAIDOC and Rec Week, which I am going to bang on about this a fair bit in this episode, but it is really important that you recognize that you can't just turn up and have conversations about the wrap during key or significant dates, right? So I want you to look for opportunities where you can give updates about the wrap, whether it's in meetings, whether it's in emails, whether it's on your internal communication channels like Slack or whatever it is that you might be using, newsletters. Think about ways that you can be creative about the way that you communicate what it is that you need to about the wrap's progress, right? But just maintain consistency with that. I also think it's important that you align the actions with the values of the organization, right? Remember that actions speak louder than words. Effective communication has to involve really clear storytelling about how the wrap marries into the rest of the strategic direction of the organization. If a wrap stands alone, it's likely to fail. It's highly likely to fail, right? If there is no executive sponsor and there's no strong governance and leadership that sits around this, and I'm getting off track here, but this is just something that's really important as well. If you don't have that strong governance and leadership in place, then the effectiveness and the impact and the potential impact of the wrap is not going to be achieved. But I really want you to make sure that you are consistently aligning the actions of the wrap to the values of the core business, and making sure that people understand that we want this to be embedded into the fabric of the organization, the way that the organization sets its culture and practices its culture, but also the way that we do our core business. What's also really important is to create opportunities for engagement and for people to be included in the comms, right? So have an open dialogue and be able to receive information back from people. So there's a two-way communications way here, right? Like comment sections and encourage participation and have a call to action and things like that, right? So effective comms always has to have a purpose. And I really want you to think about what purpose you're trying to create here. Is it increased engagement? Is it reshares? Is it conversations being started in a tea room? Is it information being shared? Whatever it might be, there always has to be a goal to effective communication in order to align with the purpose of what the wrap is. Okay, let's move on to the next point that I wanted to talk about in terms of, when do we know comms hasn't landed in the business, right? What are the telltale signs of effective communication not existing, or our current approach to comms failing? So a couple of points here that I've listed. The first is that there's clearly a limited awareness of visibility of the RAP. No one knows what the RAP is. No one knows that we have a RAP. No one knows what we're trying to achieve. So there is confusion or there is a lack of awareness among our employees, our stakeholders, or even in the broader community. So I would suggest to you that if people don't know about it, then your comms hasn't hit the mark, right? So this could be evident in low engagement with participation from staff, but also low. If you're posting something on social media or in your internal channels and no one is getting engagement there and you're not getting engagement, there's a bit of a sign there that people probably aren't aware of what we're doing here or why. So it's important that you maintain a focus on consistency to raise that awareness and to increase the visibility of the RAP. The other point that I want to talk about, which is a sign of that we haven't effectively communicated, is our lack of participation and engagement from employees. So employees can seem disengaged or indifferent towards a RAP's purpose for several reasons, but one of those is that they don't understand how their RAP fits in the business, or they don't understand why we have one, right? So you can see that from an outputs perspective with low participation in any events that we've got, any initiatives, people not volunteering to want to do things. There are a lot of organizations where people will volunteer to do additional work around the RAP. But if you're not getting that participation, then it's not, I wouldn't say that it's because there aren't people that don't care about the RAP. I do know that there are organizations where there are people that literally don't care about the RAP, and that's cool. But I'm yet to see an organization where you have staff that generally do not care about wanting to learn about First Nations communities, cultures, or histories. I'm yet to see that for all the years that I've been around. So I think the lack of participation for employees is maybe because people aren't aware of the RAP being around. And so we've got to look at how we once again maintain the consistency and what storytelling we are, our approach to storytelling, and what the call to action is for engagement and participation. There are two other points that I think is important here, is that there can be a lack of, there can be resistance and there can be pushback from employees and from departments or teams or individuals within the organization. That is a given. That is definitely going to happen. And you will hear things like, why are we doing this? There's not even any Aboriginal staff that work here, or why are we getting political and all this kind of stuff, right? Like, I could tell you a list of things as to what happens in conversations when resistance and pushback turns up. But I do want to say that this could potentially be coming from a place where people have misconceptions around what reconciliation is, what allyship looks like, how we're trying to address social justice inequities in this country, and how it is that we're trying to champion anti-racism against Aboriginal people in this country. So there could be resistance because people are just uncertain about it, or they fear it, or people just don't have a decent level of understanding and education about it. So there's also a critical point around comms that we can be always educating people about new, giving them new information and presenting alternative ideas around reconciliation. The other point that I just want to leave here in terms of what I think is a telltale sign of comms not necessarily hitting the mark is a lack of integration into the organisational culture. If the RAP's purpose and strategic direction is not aligned with the rest of the organisation's strategic remit, and it's not a part of the organisation's culture or daily operations, I have to say to you that there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is that we have not been able to successfully communicate what we're doing, why we're doing it, or maybe we don't know what we're doing or why we're doing something, right? So I think that messaging, knowing who your target audience is and how it is that they receive information, is really critical to embedding the purpose of the RAP and the RAP into the fabric of the business. So really want you to look at how that lack of alignment between the RAP objectives and the organization's values or practices or processes doesn't necessarily align, and we need to focus on making sure that there is alignment between the RAP vision, mission, and values, and how that aligns with the rest of the business. Let's talk about stakeholders now. Let's shift gears for a bit here, because I think this is also important. So effective comms really does require a strategic approach. There are several factors I think that you need to consider when it comes to a strategic comms approach and knowing who your stakeholders are that you want to work with. So who are we talking to from a stakeholder perspective and what influence do they have? The impact of the messaging. Does the messaging live on beyond that initial interaction with the content that we're sharing with them, whether it be online or whether it be in an event? The engagement. Did we create opportunities for it, for people to be actively engaged and to receive the information? And then for there to be a call to action. Again, impact and engagement are the same. And then that receptiveness in terms of the information. Did the format or the information that we shared, did it hit the mark so well that it's been able to live on, right? So think about some events that you may have had in the past around NAIDOC Week or Rec Week, where the event is so amazing and staff are still talking about it years later. They'd be like, what about that lunch and learn that Dixie ran? By the way, she's available for lunch and learns. But do you remember that lunch and learn that Dixie ran, right? Like it was great and made me feel, you know, X, Y, Z, and this is what I took away from that. And, you know, like I want you to create opportunities for people to not just receive the information but to be inspired about it and to experience something so incredible that they rave about it to other people. So, yeah, they're the, I guess, key factors that I just want you to focus on: influence, impact, engagement, and receptiveness. But when it comes to, you know, really nailing and prioritizing stakeholders that you communicate with, you need to understand exactly the stakeholder that you are communicating with and what their needs are, right? So if we're talking about internal stakeholders, we might think employees, managers, executive board members, shareholders, all of those type of people. Then we might think about external stakeholders being First Nations communities, customers, suppliers, government agencies, community organizations, community partners. Once you know which stakeholder that you're communicating to, you get a better understanding about what are the best ways to communicate with that audience in order to increase their engagement, but also to activate a call to action from them, right? So you have to know who you're talking to, why, and what the outcome is that you want from that. Now, if you go back to the basics of marketing, is that there are different segments within any audience, and it's important that you recognize that the communication you have internally needs to be different to the communication that you have externally, because those two stakeholder audiences have very different needs. So I don't want you to produce one piece of content and think, oh, that's going to land the mark for everyone. It doesn't. Stop being lazy, pull your finger out and have a crack at doing this properly. The other point that I want to talk about in terms of the stakeholder that you're engaging is to identify the purpose of each communication, each piece of content that you have, right? So each piece of content has to have a goal and an objective. It can be education, awareness, or a call to action or something different, right? But you must know what you want to occur as a result of someone seeing, hearing, and engaging in that content. Content for the sake of content is a waste of your time and a waste of other people's time. The content and the action has to align with the objective of the RAP initiatives, right? So I really want you to think about that from a metric point of view as well. What's the goal or the objective of the piece of content that we're getting out? So if we are, let's say, for example, we're looking at National Reconciliation Week and you have a reflect RAP, the metric that we might have is to, well, there's a deliverable that sits in the RAP around encouraging your staff to actively participate in National Reconciliation Week events. Now, a call to action could be that we encourage staff and we share information about an event in the local community. A metric of that is that we've got engagement and then we receive feedback from our staff that they went out and they participated in a community event, right? So you always have to have a goal and an objective of what the comms is. I also want you to think about tailoring your messaging based upon the communication channels that you have available to you or the communication channels that your stakeholder group best engages with, right? So people may prefer face-to-face meetings. People might prefer written comms. People might prefer flyers. People might prefer digital online formats, right? There's plenty of ways to do this work. And I think it's important that you recognize that not every single stakeholder has the ability to jump online or even, you know, video resonates with them online. Sometimes they want a flyer. Sometimes they want a yarn. So be flexible in the way that you present different communication options to your stakeholder audience. The final point that I just want to flag here is around monitoring and adapting. It's so important that you consistently seek feedback and that you actually also analyze the data that's available to you to know whether or not your communication efforts are effective. You have to be prepared to change and adapt, and that it has to be evolving based upon your stakeholder engagement needs, what their concerns are, or what their priorities are. The evidence is always in the data, so go looking for the data and use that information as evidence-based data to inform your next steps, right? So be flexible and be responsive to what the story is that is sitting in front of you, right? Just because you've done something a particular way all the time, it doesn't mean it's going to work anymore, right? So be adaptable, be open to change. If you don't, then I'm sorry, you leave audiences behind. So now let's talk about how you tailor some of the messages to different audiences. Once again, I've already mentioned this before, that there are two kind of different audiences, right? You've got your internal stakeholders and external stakeholders. But then even within those two audiences, you've got segments and you've got, you know, what they call, personas in the marketing sense of who you might be communicating to and why. But I just want to share some really quick 3 points that I think are really helpful here. So it's important that you understand who your audience is and what their needs or perspective are. So think about the messaging. Take time to craft that based upon what someone's needs or perspective or expectations are within that particular audience group, right? So think about, people may not be familiar with the concept of reconciliation. People may not be familiar with the historical, what's occurred since invasion and colonization in this country, right? They literally may not be aware of that. Or some people are. Or people may not be aware of the misconceptions and the yarns that are spun about Black violence in this country. So it's important that you recognize where people are at and you create opportunities for them. I also want you to think about using really clear and concise and accessible language, right? So make sure that your messages are accessible for each audience group. Don't use jargon. Don't be super technical, because this makes it difficult for people to understand. Use language and terminology that resonates with the audience that you're engaging with. This is also important from a cultural context, particularly if you are a multinational company, which I do work with companies that do have a lot of people that were born and raised overseas and they're living and working here and they're, citizens, but they still don't have a good understanding about First Nations history. And that's okay. That's quite normal, actually, for a lot of big multinational companies here. But it's important that we recognize that if we want to make people aware of the purpose of the RIP and what we're trying to achieve, we have to make sure that we can explain concepts in a way that it resonates with people and they're able to understand it and make sense of it in their own way. So with that, I guess, comes the final point that I want to make, is make sure you tailor the communication channels and the formats of the way that you're delivering information to the different audience groups, right? So some people, again, might prefer face-to-face engagements. Some people might like the online processes. Some people like watching a video. Some people like reading a book or listening to a podcast. Hey, tell a friend about my podcast, but just make sure that you have multiple approaches to the way that you're sharing information, that you're trying to engage your audience. Okay. Another point that I wanted to run across is, what are some actionable steps or strategies to effectively communicate your RIP internally? And I think this is where some organizations kind of fall short. So I've got 5 key points that I want to share here. The first point that I believe is critical, and I've already mentioned, is to make sure that you use your leadership team to endorse and increase involvement of employees of the RIP. Remember, people follow leaders, right? Leaders lead by example. So when a leader is being visible with their support and their commitment to the reconciliation action plans, it sends a powerful message to the rest of the organization that actually we are committed to this as a collective and we are doing this. So jump on board with us, and here are ways that you can actively participate. So If you are a leader and you are listening to this podcast, I really ask you to reflect on what your own participation has been in terms of communicating your personal commitment, but the organization's commitment to the Reconciliation Action Plan. The other point that I want to share is to make sure that you have clear and consistent messaging, right? So a strategy that is critical is to have clear and consistent messaging across the board that highlights the purpose, the objectives, and the intended outcomes of the RAP. It's important that you ensure that any messaging is aligned to our organization's values, but also it resonates with what employees are wanting and needing to know about the RAP. So again, use simple language, avoid jargon, and make sure that the information is clear and easily accessible for everyone in the organization. Another point that's important to increasing for effective comm strategies is to create content where people can engage and actively participate at all levels, right? So create opportunities where there is a two-way dialogue and where we can have feedback and collaboration. That can be anything from information sessions to town halls to workshops to lunch and learn sessions. Make sure you create ongoing opportunities to address people's questions or to give them the information that they might be information to the answer to the questions that people might have, right? Because what you want to do is increase participation. And if people are coming to you with questions and you want to honor that and you want to respect that, their curiosity and their courage to do this, because actually, if I'm to be honest, there are a lot of people that have a lot of fear and anxiety about having conversations about the RAP. So we want to be respectful of that and we want to support people through their individual but also the organizational journey around reconciliation. So please create consistent opportunity for your staff to actively participate in the RAP. Use multiple channels. I've spoken about that, right? So use the intranet, use newsletters, use emails, video, team meetings, organization surveys. There's lots of ways that you can communicate what you're trying to do with the RAP and how it is that we're trying to achieve that. The final point there, again, is the monitoring and the assessment of the effectiveness of the comms is that we've got to know what's working well and what's not working, right? If something worked in the past, keep doing it until it no longer works, but also always be open to change and adapting so you are meeting the evolving needs of the organization and the audience that you're communicating with. The other point that I just want to run with is I want to share the importance of consistency around communication. So if you are consistently communicating with your audience, what you start to do is you build trust and credibility around being a fair dinkum ally and a partner of reconciliation and the objectives of reconciliation in this country. When stakeholders receive regular information or updates about progress, what we're doing well, what we're stopping, what we're starting, it demonstrates and fosters a form of trust and confidence that the organization is sincere and that we are also accountable to what it is that we're doing, right? So the consistency will reinforce an organization's credibility and their reliability in terms of being a true and trustworthy partner when it comes to reconciliation. So don't underestimate the power of consistency. I also want you to recognize that consistency will create and maintain engagement and momentum within the organization for different stakeholders, right? Because we're slowly moving towards the goal. It's reconciliation is not a race, right? Relationships evolve and they change. What you might have been doing with a community 5 years ago will be different to what you're doing with it now to what it will be in 5 years' time. So I really want you to focus on maintaining relationships and momentum. And so that engagement and that storytelling about where we are right now, what we're doing together and where it is that we want to be makes it really clear on what your RAP's purpose, activities and milestones are in terms of the relationships that we've got with our stakeholders, right? So consistency is critical to be moving past the checker box of exercise of a RAP to actually being a transformational strategic plan in an organization that is focused on impact versus outcomes. The final point that I just want to talk about there in terms of what consistency can do for you is that it can support long-term impact and sustainability. Reconciliation is a long-term process that requires a sustained effort, and there has to be demonstrated commitment from all stakeholders, not just community, not just the organization, but to stakeholders, right? And sometimes if we're focused on the short-term outcomes, then we actually miss the incredible opportunity that sits in front of us to do really good work. So the consistency there, again, builds trust, maintains momentum, but it also lets us know that you are in this for the long, long haul. You want to do this together with us. So I really encourage you to keep your stakeholders engaged, informed, and have continuous ways that you can be communicating the purpose and the sustainability of your reconciliation efforts, right? I want you to leave a lasting impact in the storytelling, but also the experiences that you create and that you have with communities, because the relationships that you build in reconciliation are so powerful and so profound that they do leave a long-lasting impact on you as the individual, but then it can also set the standard within the organization from a people culture perspective. So that's it. That's all I wanted to yarn about today. I hope that helps. I really encourage you to maintain that consistency, to tailor your messaging, to identify who your key stakeholders are, and to always have a focus on and a commitment to adapting and changing when different needs evolve or different things turn up for you and you recognize, actually, hey, we have to start making some changes here. But also, again, just don't create content and share information for the sake of it. Everything has to be purposeful. Everything has to be aligned. Everything has to link back to what we're trying to do with the wrap, right? So really be focused on that. I hope that helps. If there's anything that you want to yarn with me about, let me know. You can reach out to me at hello@nigunya.com.au or connect with me on LinkedIn. Until next time, take care. Thank you for tuning in to Reconciliation Roadmap. If the insights shared today resonate with you in your business, remember, I'm here to guide you further. Connect with me on LinkedIn or feel free to reach out to my business, Nigunya, so I can help you take your next steps towards a more inclusive and connected future. You can find me at nigunya.com.au or head to the show notes.